And go ahead with the Bible, I hope you have. Turn to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2, which is one of those passages that if you have never done so, you ought to have memorized. It's one of those that needs to be in your arsenal. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Father, now own your word, drive it into our minds and hearts. Let us be undistracted to hear and then to do your word for Christ's sake. Amen. You and I live in a world that is full of people who think and act very, very differently than we do. The assumptions they make about life, about sex, about family, about what matters are very different from those who are biblical Christians. It's almost like they're coming from an entirely different planet. And indeed they are. They're coming from a different world entirely. Now we've been talking about a Christian worldview this weekend, seeing the world through biblically informed eyes, which means seeing the world as it really is, seeing it as made and ruled by the God to whom we are answerable, and not seeing it as the vain mind of man imagines it to be, where there is no judgment, there is no God, and man himself is in control. But you were born into this world. You, in fact, have lived your entire life in this man-centered world. A world that is full of delusions. And that's the challenge. You have been trained by the world you live in to see the world as lost man sees the world. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Ephesians 4, 18 says that they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. Romans 1:28 says that they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, so God gave them up to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. And you were born into this world. So like it or not, you have been influenced by this world, and so have your children. Now, coming to Christ has given you new desires, new passions. You've been moved from one who is oriented to this world and its gods to one who is now oriented to heaven and the true God. You've been moved as a new creature from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. Those are realities that are true about you if you're in Christ. But that doesn't change the fact that you still operate through a mind heavily influenced by this world. And so one of the tasks of discipleship, of sanctification, is to unlearn what the world has taught you and relearn what God says is true and what indeed is the truth about this place you live. Because it's only as you begin to think as a Christian that you'll ever be able to live like a Christian to the praise of God's glory. And isn't that what Paul is saying here in verses 1 and 2? Verse 1 he says, based on the riches of God's mercy that you've received in Christ, give up everything and follow Him. Be all in. Be a living sacrifice, totally dedicated to Christ in all that you do. And you understand that is what God requires of you if you are a Christian. This is what God requires of every Christian. If you're not willing to give up everything to follow Christ, then understand you are not a Christian. Because that's at the very center. Someone who has given all to the Lordship of Christ, trusts all in the righteousness of Christ, and has a mind and heart now willing to yield all for the glory of Christ. But how do you do that? How do you begin to live a life like that in this world? Well, verse 2 is telling us that very thing. Verse 2 says, so stop being conformed to this world and its ways of thinking and living, and instead be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind into new Godward ways of living and thinking. This is how you learn what God's will is. This is how you learn to love God's will and enjoy doing God's will. Your mind gets reshaped so that your life is transformed and you begin to live to glorify and enjoy God daily. And so it begins with a mind made new. So let's just plunge a little deeper there. Look at the basic teaching of this passage again. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Look at the basic teaching. Paul tells us here three things. First, stop letting your life be shaped by the thinking of this fallen world. Second, be changed by having your mind renewed by God's truth. So that third, you can know and enjoy doing God's will. Let's look at each of those a little more closely. First of all, stop letting your mind be warped by the thinking of this present age. Do not be conformed to this world. Now, what's conformed mean? Somebody just yelled it out. What's conformed mean? Yeah, to made the same, to be molded, to be shaped. You kids remember playing with Play-Doh? Just say yes or no. Yes, Play-Doh, remember it? And you take Play-Doh and you would put it in that little plastic mold, and what would happen to the Play-Doh? It'd change and take on the shape of the Play-Doh. So if the mold was shaped like a starfish, the Play-Doh became like a starfish. If the mold was shaped like a monster or a car or a bug, the Play-Doh became just like the car or the monster or the bug. It took on its shape. It was conformed by it. Well, that is what this culture wants to do with you and is always working to do with you. It wants to force you into its mold. It desires to shape you into its way of thinking and doing things. It's putting pressure on you 24 hours a day to take its shape. Can you feel it? At work? On Facebook? With family and friends, everywhere you go, it's putting pressure on you, saying to you, come on, be like us. Think like us. Talk like us. Love the things we love. Do the things we do. And if you don't, there's resistance and there's pressure against you. That is the spirit of this age. And it's coming at you from every side. In fact, this word world here really should be translated age, because he doesn't mean, you know, don't be conformed to this earth, gravity and grass, you know, you can't help that. But what he means is don't be conformed to this present godless age, this secular culture that denies God and lives as if there was no God. The fantasy world of lost man that says, I'm the master of my fate. I can choose what I want. There are no consequences for me. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing and life will be grand. The fantasy, the lie that Jeff talked about. He says, stop behaving like a child, giving in to the fantasies of this world. Stop living like your lost neighbor as if God was not there and sin did not matter. Stop. Why? Because God has saved you from this world and given you so much more as a Christian. Galatians 1:4 says, Jesus gave himself up for our sins that he might rescue us from this present evil age. Colossians 1:13 says that he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son. So if you're in Christ, you don't belong here anymore. This is not your home anymore. Its values are not your values. Its loves are not your loves. You've been changed. Therefore, Paul says, don't be shaped by this present evil age anymore. Instead, he says what? Don't be conformed, but what? Be transformed. So in other words, make it your goal to be changed, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind with God's Word. Now, there is a powerful difference between being conformed to something and being transformed. Conformed, again, means what? It means you're giving in to the pressure. You're being shaped by it. Again, like that Play-Doh, you're being forced into its mold. You're taking on the shape of the world around you. And that's what the world always wants to do to you. It always wants to shape you. Listen, Christian, it always wants to shape you into something you're not, a part of this age. But if you're in Christ, a miracle has taken place. You have a new heart. You are a new person. And if you are a new person with a new heart, then you can no longer be what this world is trying to make of you. You can't give into its pressure. That's why you feel this conflict. And so to you who are in Christ, he says, don't be conformed any longer. Instead, be transformed. What's that word mean? What's transformed mean? This is participatory. What's it mean? Changed. Changed, transfigured, made new from the inside out. And it's not just a matter of conforming outwardly to a new shape. It means to be changed from the inside out by a new reality. The Greek word, in fact, is the word metamorpho, where we get our word metamorphosis. You guys from science class, remember that word? What's metamorphosis? Again, it's change, right? But specifically, it's the change that you see when a caterpillar transfigures into a butterfly. That wholesale change. That's a good illustration of what he's talking about here. But there's actually a better picture of this in the Bible. Matthew 7, 1 and 2. It says, Jesus took three of his disciples up onto the mountain. And there, as they were with Jesus on the mountain, verse 2 says, he was transfigured before them. His face shone as the sun. His clothes became white as light. Now notice what's happening there. This is not a matter of Jesus merely changing on the outside so that he kind of looks like God now. This is the reality of Jesus as God suddenly coming from the inside out and demonstrating his deity and the reality of who he is, suddenly is bursting out and being seen, and it blows the disciples away. Paul is saying to us, we need to be evident of who we are in Christ. We need to be changed so that we are showing forth the reality of Christ in us. So, in other words, again, Christians, stop letting the world shape you and start showing who you really are in Christ. Stop playing the world's game. Stop letting the world shape you and how you act and think. No, be who you are in Christ. Get serious about letting the reality of what God has done in you be seen. Christian, be who you are. Let the truth about Christ that is in you shine out of you. Be transformed. Okay, how? How does he say we have to be transformed? What's the next line? Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Now, do you see? Your mind is the issue here. How you think. How you decide. What you do. Your mind has to be changed. The way you think about things has to be relearned. You see, here is the problem again. If you're in Christ, God has given you a new heart with new desires. God has done this supernatural miracle. You really do want to walk with Christ, right? You really do want to be holy. Now listen, if that's not true, if you don't give a lick about walking with Christ, if you don't care one thing about holiness, again, you are not a Christian, and that's what terrifies us. Because you are still in the world, controlled by the world, under its thumb, and will die like the world and experience God's eternal judgment against the world. But for the Christian, there is a desire to walk with Christ. There is a desire now to be like Him. Ezekiel 36 says that you have new desires and a new heart. And yet here you are, Christian, new desires, new heart, wanting to walk with Jesus, and yet you're living in this broken world that for all of your years has been pressuring you and training you to think in ways that are contrary to the ways of God. You live in a world that is marked by a depraved mind, Romans 1. That is lost in darkness, Ephesians 4. That is blinded by Satan, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so your whole way of thinking has been warped by these world forces, and this is why your mind must be retrained. Every assumption that you have made about life and what matters has to be retrained. All you're thinking about sex and marriage and what matters and how to raise your children and how to spend your money and how to spend your time, all of that has to be rethought biblically. Everything you believe about the goals you've set for yourself and what matters must be re-examined. You have got to unlearn what the world has taught you and relearn how to think in biblical and gospel ways about everything. And that's what the Bible does. You understand, the Bible is not just a collection of stories to inspire us. It's not just a collection of helpful little things about how we could add stuff to our life. This is the Word of God for the transformation of your mind to reshape your thinking in every area. Paul tells Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so the goal of your life as a Christian is to engage God's Word in such a way that it changes your thinking about everything. And so that you learn to think biblically and truthfully about everything and are being daily reoriented to the life God has given you in Christ. That's when, Paul says here at the end of Romans 12:2, that you'll be able to understand what God's will is. You'll see how good God's will is. You'll understand that it is pleasing and perfect, and your whole life will be a sprint to take hold of that life He has placed within you. So that's what Paul is saying here. Stop letting your life be shaped by this foolish world and be changed by renewing your mind daily on God's Word. Then you'll experience how good, pleasing, and perfect God's will is. Okay, that's the foundation. So how do you do that? What does this mean for you personally? How do you apply this to your life? How do you apply this to your family? A couple of things. First, friend, you need to wake up and realize just how much you've already been conformed to this world. When I was a boy, every summer, we would go to a scout camp called Camp Orr down in northwest Arkansas. Beautiful place, high cliffs, caves everywhere that we would explore, and the swift-running Buffalo River. Always going. And one thing that was about the Buffalo River is it has a strong current. And so we had a great swimming hole, but they always warned us that you had to be careful because just south or just below the swimming hole, there were these rapids. And so when you're swimming in that swimming hole, because of the current, you always have to be swimming upstream. You can't just kick back and float because you're carried along by that, and before long you'll be into trouble. And of course, 12, 13-year-old boy that I was, you don't listen very well when they're telling you these things. And so I'm out there one day and I'm just on my back and I'm looking at the trees and the cliffs and how pretty this is and just having a good time. And all of a sudden I hear people yelling at me and I kind of pop up and I realize I'm 150 yards downstream and I'm really close to those rapids and I'm having to struggle now to get out of the water before I get into a dangerous area. When there's a current, you are pressed against that current if you are not actively fighting against it. The world you live in is like that. There's a current. It is constantly pushing you downstream, constantly pushing you further and further into sin, further and further away from God. And there are many, many very foolish believers who think, as long as I'm not committing open, rebellious sins, I'm okay. And they're just floating along, doing what everybody else around them is doing, watching the same shows everybody else watches, reading the same stuff, listening to the same music, following the same fads, following the same celebrities, no effort whatsoever to swim against the tide. And then you wonder why God seems like a stranger to your life, why prayer seems empty, why the Word seems dead, and why there is no life in what you call your spiritual life. Let me give you a very important principle. Unless you are exerting definite effort to swim against the current of this age, you're already being swept downstream. Unless you are given definite, conscious effort to swim against the current of this age, you are already being conformed to this age. You need to ask yourself some really hard questions. First, where do you turn for advice about life, about marriage, about parenting, about how to handle conflict, about how to handle your money? Pretty much everywhere. Where do you go? Do you go to God? Do you search out His Word? Or go to godly believers for godly counsel? Or do you turn to worldly friends, to celebrities? Do you just do what everybody else around you is doing? Do you just do with your kids what your parents, who may not even have been believers, do with you? Do you do what your feelings say? This is big today. My feelings, my heart tells me, your heart is the problem. Right? If you just do what feels right in this culture, you are inevitably doing probably the wrong thing. Or do you run to the Bible to be reshaped in your thinking? Second, can you read a secular blog or a secular website or secular magazines or whatever, listen to the popular songs? Can you do those things and find yourself agreeing pretty much with everything they say? Not because you've searched it out in God's Word, but because it just feels right to you. If so, dear friend, you are a child of this age. You have been compromised. You have been trained by this world. Third, who are the people you really listen to? Who are the people you look up to and admire? Who are the people you want to be like? I mean, get in mind who it is you are following and thinking about and saying, man, I wish I was like that person. Okay, is that a godly, mature believer with a passion for holiness that you have in mind? Or is that an unbeliever who has no concern for the things of God? The Bible is so clear. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And what is a fool? Biblically, a fool is someone who lives as if there is no God. Someone whose life is fixed on themselves and their feelings, what they want, that person is an utter fool. And they will come to ruin, and those who partner with them will come to ruin. That's what he's saying. If you can live in casual agreement with the people of this age and not be troubled by their views and values, you have already gone over the cliff of compromise. Fourth, can you sit in front of your television or a movie or YouTube and never be appalled by what you see? Never be sickened enough to turn it off? Do you sit passively and take it all in as though it were no big deal and say, well, it's just entertainment? See, I'm really, really, truly amazed at the things Christians are willing to subject themselves to with no concern whatsoever. I'm shocked at things that I have in the past permitted in my eyes, in my mind, and things no doubt some of you permit. Filthy entertainment. blatant ungodliness. Do you understand? To participate in those things by viewing them is sin. It is rebellion. Christian, there are things that you can have nothing to do with. There are things that ought to make you sick. If you can sit and be entertained by wickedness, you are conformed to this world. Somebody read 1 John 2:15 and 17 earlier. I think it was John. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, these things aren't from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world and its values, its desires is passing away. This world with its passions is passing away. Listen, it's like the Titanic. It's going down. Can you pitch your tent on the deck of that ship and think you're not going to lose everything? What a fool. Stop being carried along by the hellbound ship that is destined for the bottom of the ocean. Stop following its values and advice. And instead, here's his point, give your attention to getting a mind that is centered and satisfied on Christ and his eternal glory. If I was John Piper, I would say, and is greedy for his eternal glory. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Listen to these words. If then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. Do you understand? Do you understand? Your mind is like a switch. Your mind can be set on one thing or on another. You can either set your mind on this world and its values so that you are shaped by them, or you can set your mind upon God through His Word so that you are set on Him and you are being empowered to be transformed into the life that pleases Him. With that in mind, listen to this. This is a little longer passage, but it's worth hearing. Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. Listen to what he says. This I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles or the pagans do, in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Now, doesn't that sound like the world around you? But that is not the way that you learned Christ, assuming you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Listen, is that happening to you? Ask yourself, please ask yourself, what thoughts are controlling your mind? Is your mind being controlled by the spirit of this world or by the spirit of Christ? Young people, which has your interest? Are you memorizing scripture or have you memorized the words to a dozen secular songs that if I ask you to, you could repeat them right now? Because here's what's happening. If your mind is full of those song lyrics, that is the soundtrack of your life. That is what is molding and shaping your attitudes and values day in and day out. If your mind instead is programmed with Scripture, that is the soundtrack that is programming your life and moving you along. Which is it? Is it God's Word and the joy of Christ and the beauty of His holiness? Or is it the assumptions and views of this world? And my point is, If you're not taking definite action daily to get this word into you so that it is the soundtrack that is shaping your life, then you are being programmed by this world for a God-defying, God-denying life that will end ultimately in your destruction. This world will own you like a man owns a dog. You'll be on a leash. It'll drag you wherever it wants you to go. No, Christian, listen, you must fight. You must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you? Just ask that question. Am I being transformed? Stop being led around by this world. Get into this Bible, read it and memorize it and meditate on what it says. Let it change your thinking daily. Go to war to secure your mind with God's truth. And it is a war. Okay, how do you do that? Let me just give you several basic practices. I'm going to give you several here. I'm going to do them quickly. But these are so vital. I'm going to give you several things that ought to be a daily part of your life as a Christian in order to be transforming your mind and moving more and more in that God-enjoying, God-glorifying life that is the birthright of the Christian. Several things here. First, have a plan for reading God's Word daily. It's not hard, is it? It's hard to do sometimes because you get that other things get in the way, but that's not hard. Have a plan for reading God's Word daily. Joshua 1:8. Joshua was told this, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success." If you're not putting the word into your mind daily, then other thoughts are ruling your mind daily. Other soundtracks are programming your thinking. You must put the word in place. You must have it in your mind daily. Only if it is in your mind daily can it transform your thinking daily. Second, treasure the word daily. By that I mean love it, dwell on it, memorize it, meditate on it. And if you wake in the morning, you don't have any desire for the word, go to God and say, "God, give me desire for your word." Psalm 119:11, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." Hey, listen, parents, all of us really, we've really gotten lazy in this digital age about memorizing. We've really gotten lazy. We've gotten lazy about expecting our children to memorize. And we believe ourselves when we lie, and we believe them when they lie and say, "I can't memorize." I've got a good Greek word for that, poppycock. Your mind was made to memorize. God designed it to memorize. And having a Bible app on your phone is not the same as having the word richly dwelling in your heart. Is it hard work? Oh, yeah. Does it take effort? Yes. Is anything that's ever been valuable not required work and effort? No. Third, examine your life, your thoughts, your actions daily by the word. Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It must be a light daily for your walk. This is daily business. This is how we are shaped by the word in all our daily activities. As a young man, Jonathan Edwards, and you ought to know that name, he was a man God used greatly. We think about him as a man being used greatly by God, but when he was 12 or 13 years of age, he began keeping a little book he called his resolutions. Commitments he made to God to steer his life by. And young people, many of you who are 12, 13, or a little older than that, listen to these words written by someone your age, mightily used of God. At that age, he said this, "Resolved to study the Scriptures so steadily and constantly and frequently that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of them daily." What a resolution. We need that kind of resolution. Fourth, fight Satan and fight sin and fight for personal holiness daily using the word as a weapon. Ephesians 6:17 says the Bible is the what? Sword of the Spirit. It's a weapon. Psalm 119:9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Again, it's military language there. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, how did he fight him? It is written, Satan. It is written. He went to the word, which implies Jesus, first of all, knew the word as a man. He'd memorized the word so that he could quote it. He relied upon and trusted its power, and he knew how to use it. Do you know how to use the word as a weapon? Fifth, hear the word regularly from an obedient and prepared heart. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. In other words, listen, give ear to godly, scripture-saturated sermons by faithful men that can help you live to the glory of God. Find them. Search them out. I mean, what a wonderful day we live in. You don't have to go traipsing across the countryside because you heard Jonathan Edwards is preaching downtown. You can turn your phone on and you can go to the internet, and there are thousands of godly helps there on the internet. Just quickly, who are some of the people you listen to? Who are some people that are helping you daily? Just shout some names out to me.
Matt Chandler.
Who else? Alistair Begg. John MacArthur. Who else? Who? Sproul. Moeller. Come on, Aaron. You got one back there. I know who he is.
Robbie Zacharias,
I was looking for Jerem Bars, but all of these, they're out there. Let the Holy Spirit use the word of these men through His scriptures to pierce your heart and transform your thinking daily. Just two more. Sixth, regularly discuss the word and what it means and how it ought to shape your life daily with other believers. Do you understand that the letters of the New Testament that we call books were actually letters sent to the churches intending for them to be read and discussed by the congregation? 1 Thessalonians 5:27, Paul says, I put you under oath before the Lord. Have this letter read to all the brothers. Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra not only read the law to the people, but he broke them down into groups and had men ready to lead them to discuss how to put these things into practice. You and I have to do more than just sit passively and listen to teachers. We have to think. We have to struggle with what this means when it hits my life, how this changes my marriage, how it changes my parenting, how it changes my work, how it changes my leisure, how it changes my words. We have to get together and work this out together and help each other apply it. How does this work in my life? What does it mean to obey God in this? And then seventh, by the way, that's the work of the church. We do that together. Seventh, apply this word to your life daily. Let it shape the way you live and all that you do and say and think. This word is not done with you until it's in your life's blood. It's not done with you, and it hasn't done you any good whatsoever if it only stays in your ears. No, it has to move on into your mind, and from there into your hands and feet and mouth and eyes. And that, dear church, takes effort on your part. But that's what James means, isn't it? James 1:22, be doers of the word, not hearers only. It is only by putting the word into practice that we are transformed. If I can use an illustration, I don't know of anybody that learned to ride a bicycle or a unicycle. Let's go with that one. You know why I can't ride a unicycle? Well, because I'm over 50 years old and that'd be crazy. But I have watched videos about how to ride a unicycle. I've watched YouTube videos telling me how to do it. Can you learn to ride a unicycle watching YouTube videos? if that's all you do? No, in order to ride the unicycle, at some point you got to get a unicycle, climb up on the thing, and start putting into practice what the YouTube video said you were to do. Unless you're Billy Jackson, you were born on a unicycle. But it you have to put into practice. The word is doing you no good if all you're doing is reading and hearing, but you are never wrestling with how to put it into practice. You're never bringing it home into your family, into your work, into your thought life, into your mind. It has to be put into practice daily. That's how it transforms you. That's what Paul is saying here in Romans 12, 2, when he says, renewing your mind so that by testing, by putting into practice, then you can discern what is the will of God, what is good. It's wonderful. It's acceptable, which means pleasurable. It's perfect. You begin to see it shaping your life and you say, this is good. This is wonderful. This is joy-filled. So you hear, you believe, and you do. That's how you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, here's your assignment. One thing only. Think hard with me. What one thing will you change beginning today with how you're interacting with the Word? What one thing will you change beginning today so that you can stop being conformed to this world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind? For some of you, that means you've got to get a new heart. And you can only get that new heart by going to Christ by faith. For others of you who are believers, it may start with self-examination. Where am I following the world like a pandering dog licking up everything it tosses out? For others of us, it's going to be some hard examination of how am I going to get the Word into my life daily? How am I going to get a heart that delights to know and do the Word? And that's your homework. Let's pray. Father, how I do thank you about this wonderful, wonderful time we've had, this wonderful word that is your word. How I thank you that it's not just letters on a page of a dead document that we look back on and sometimes have to read. If that is what it is to us, O God, bring conversion. Bring a new heart. Lord, would you let that word shape us in every area? Would you teach us what it means to greedily devour it as the good thing it is and to be shaped and changed by it? God, would you let us even now walk away saying, this under God I will do as I seek to no longer be conformed to this age, but to be transformed daily through the renewing of my mind upon your word. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.